Now, taking into account all of the actions and attempts at distractions the Trump administration is throwing at us, you might have missed this one, but it's very important that you understand it. The definition of science has long been a finding that's considered to be fact based on studies, statistics, tests, and results. The Trump administration, via the EPA, has decided that if the science costs too much and puts restrictions on industries they want to help because they're political and financial friends, well, then they'll insert our so-called science in its place. That's what's about to happen with an environmental rule which has been proven to have improved air quality in America. Here to explain why you should care about this is Vice President and Nationwide Advocacy and Public Policy Director with the American Lung Association, Laura Kate Bender. Thanks for being here today, Laura.
Thank you.
And learn more about this and other issues that the American Lung Association pays attention to and informs you and educates you about. Lung.org is their website. Now, this involves, it's called the endangerment finding under EPA laws. What is the endangerment finding? What's its history and how has it been used for air quality improvement and control?
Thanks so much. So the Environmental Protection Agency's mission is to protect human health and the environment. And for 15 years or more, EPA has had in place this endangerment finding. Essentially what that is a scientific determination that greenhouse gases are driving climate change and causing harm to people. EPA went through reams of studies and dug deeply into the science under the basis of the law, the Clean Air Act, and they found that, yes, of course, as we're all living now, climate change puts human health and welfare at risk. And that means that EPA has to regulate the greenhouse gases that are causing it.
And this has been reinforced through numerous courts rulings from district courts to the Supreme Court time after time. Yet EPA had Lee Zeldin directly, indirectly, you could say whichever you want, is basically saying it's not the EPA's job to do this regulation. How does that make sense?
You're right that this decision, this finding, has been reinforced by both the law and the science, and it's clearly EPA's responsibility to clean up the pollution that's causing harms by way of climate change. The proposal not only would repeal the endangerment finding, that underlying finding that greenhouse gases harm humans, but it would also repeal greenhouse gas emission standards for vehicles, which have been on the books for many years, gotten stronger over time, and are helping to make our cars and trucks cleaner. So repealing those standards has real harm, both for the climate and for people's health.
Which the EPA has already been working at, repealing some of the especially vehicle standards. What would it mean if the regulations are completely lifted off of what comes out of a tailpipe? What does it mean for the person listening that is of average health? Let's start with that point.
Everybody is impacted by climate change. So more greenhouse gases coming out of vehicles' tailpipes will mean more health harms from climate change, from extreme storms to wildfires to more ozone smog pollution, lots of health impacts in the lungs that affect everybody. But when it comes to people with asthma or who are young or who are old, who work outdoors, there are lots of people that are at disproportionate risk from some of those harms.
And certainly if you're in an already high pollution area, although these laws have made appreciable improvement of air quality, but in more urban areas and more business and highways, you're already facing enough challenges to add to that health risk and health challenge. And this is probably going to affect more lower-income people, non-white people living in urban areas. It really does. It's going to have overall targets and even higher specific targets.
Absolutely. We know that these health harms build on each other. So if you're already living in a place that doesn't, you know, you don't have access to great health care, you're already living with a higher burden of air pollution, and then adding to that burden is definitely going to make things worse.
And we're not just talking about heavy breathing or can't catch your breath. I mean, long term, there are serious consequences of being exposed to greater amounts of pollution and greenhouse gases, ranging from the onslaught of asthma to lung cancer. And obviously, that's not something anyone wants to have invade their lives.
It is not. Yeah, there's a few ways that people are at risk from this proposed rollback that EPA has put out, and then the myriad of others that are either out or coming, which is that obviously greenhouse gases are causing climate change and causing health harms from those changes to the climate. And at the same time, as you mentioned, there's lots of other harmful things that come out of a vehicle's tailpipe, or in the case of other regulations, a power plant's emissions or emissions from the oil and gas industry, you know, you name it. And so rolling back these protections that cover these polluting sources, whether it's for greenhouse gases or for other pollutants, is going to cause immediate health harms for people that live and breathe nearby.
Dr. Laura Cade Bender, who is Vice President and Nationwide Advocacy and Public Policy Director with the American Lung Association, lung.org, their website. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. For you listening, just to put into measurement the magnitude that the transportation industry holds when it comes to air quality, saw this stat: if the transportation industry in America was considered to be its own country, it would be ranked fourth in the top 10 list of polluting countries in the world. So, Laura, I think that adds to the need to understand the importance of what these changes could mean, because you already have a heavy polluting industry that's basically going to have the fences taken down, the leash taken off.
Well, and here's the other part of it, is that we know that doing the opposite, putting in place strong standards under the Clean Air Act, has really worked to make it a lot cleaner. You know, in the decades that we've had a lot of the protections under the Clean Air Act in place, we have made enormous strides as a country in reducing air pollution. There are a lot of places that are noticeably less smoggy than they used to be. And so what we can't do is roll back that progress.
It was even the EPA who said, and I was looking for this frantically because I saw any notes here, the EPA tightened the tailpipe emission standards back in 2024, and they said it was to cut 7.2 billion tons of climate pollution by 2025 and save $13 billion in annual health benefits, which is another related aspect we'll get to in a moment. So now EPA head Lee Zeldin wants us to ignore their own facts.
Yeah, the analysis that we've seen come out with the proposal on the endangerment finding in vehicles and others has been lacking. We know that when these protections were put in place, like the ones you mentioned last year, like ones before them, EPA does extensive analysis, or did extensive analysis, to look at the health benefits as well as the costs of implementing many of these regulations. And what we see time and time again is that clean air protections are a great investment.
And again, using the EPA's own numbers, new passenger vehicles today emit 24% less climate pollution than they did back in 2021. That's the year before the first tailpipe regulations went into effect. But they mentioned in a report I have here, and I want to explore this with you as well, because EPA head Zeldin is saying, well, these regulations cost the industry so much. Well, what is more of a risk to our health as people going to mean for our cost for our health benefits and medical care, and another more strain on a medical system that in many places, especially rural areas, is already under a great strain? I mean, that's the aspect I don't think the EPA and the proponents of this idea really want to talk about, because that brings it home, I think, to people.
Absolutely. You know, I have asthma, and I am fortunate enough to have good health care, but that impacts me, right? If I have a day where I have asthma exacerbation and I need to use medical care or use more of my inhaler or even miss work that day, that has a financial impact on my productivity. And for a lot of people, they might be making a decision about whether to stay home from work if they're experiencing symptoms, or if their kid is home from school, what do they do about their job? You know, there's enormous implications to suffering from the lung health impacts of some of these pollutants.
Now, obviously, what's going to come next as a way to respond to this, certainly, and hopefully you're against the idea, there is a public comment period that will run through September 21st. A public hearing is going to be held at some point this month. And without a doubt, there's going to be legal challenges on this. But when you think about the state of affairs politically and what we've seen with the courts, the Supreme Court these days, Laura, is there really any hope this is not going to happen?
I keep emphasizing that this is just a proposal. That doesn't mean they're not serious about it. It doesn't mean that we don't have to fight it with everything we have, but it's not final yet. And so, yes, number one, people should absolutely participate in the public comment period. Anybody can sign up for an EPA public hearing, log online at the right time, and speak your piece for a few minutes about what you think this will mean for you and your family. Anyone can submit a public comment to EPA. You don't have to work for the Lung Association, but you can write why you want them to retain the endangerment finding and retain these vehicle standards. And then, yeah, once the rule, if and when it's finalized, officially on the books, that I am sure there will be many, many legal challenges. The endangerment finding is well based in the law. And so I think, I'm not a lawyer, can't predict the future, but I think this will face a lot of challenges in the courts if it does become finalized.
I've looked at some of the cases. We don't have time to get into every one of them here, but just in a general overview, it got to the point where it was being challenged with such weak challenges that after a couple of hearings before the Supreme Court, and more recently, the Supreme Court said, been there, done that, go away. We're not going to change what we ruled in the past. So hopefully that will hold true as a precedent and foundation should this proposal come to pass. Learn more about this and other issues regarding lung health, air quality, the latest quality air quality report. You can find it all at the website for the American Lung Association, lung.org. She is the Vice President, Nationwide Advocacy and Public Policy Director with the American Lung Association. Laura K. Bender, thanks so much for the education about this, helping people understand why they need to respond to what is being threatened to our air quality. Thanks for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks so much, Chris.